Today, as we come to the table,
there won't be any more tears. Anything you've experienced, and if you've been experiencing this week, these things in your life, just know this is temporary. Look, when you know that something is temporary, you can endure it. This is going to pass. Be encouraged. Hear me. If you know the Lord, you have glory awaiting you forever and ever and ever. You'll never experience any of this. And maybe you came saying, I hope that I'm encouraged by being here. I hope the pastor or the Holy Spirit or somebody can encourage me. Yes, and I hope that God does do that. But you need to be encouraged by realizing that no matter how you feel coming in and no matter how you feel coming out, this is a blip. This is a moment in time. The kingdom is coming.
A moment in time is a catchphrase, but what does it really mean? It means our time here on earth is temporary, but not in a bad way. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, there are many more moments in time that will be far greater than any here on earth. Joy without sorrow, love without loss, all this is to come. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains what life will be like during the millennial rule of Christ. 1,000 years of a perfect earth after Satan is bound. Knowing that pain is temporary takes some of the sting away. Believing and trusting in the new perfect life with Christ will help you to endure today's difficult trials. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 21 as he begins his message. He makes all things new.
Now, as we get into chapter 21, we have to kind of remember where we were leading up to this. If you remember 2 weeks ago in chapter 20, we saw again this current earth being revived, the Lord taking over, if you will, after the Battle of Armageddon, his second coming, establishing his kingdom for 1,000 years on the earth. And then we saw at the end of that 1,000 years, the satanic rebellion, Satan again gathering those on the earth that would rebel against the Lord for one last battle, one last rebellion. And he gathers them there to the old Jerusalem, the one that's going to be restored, but it's old and compared to the new one we're looking at today. And then the Bible says that the Lord just destroys everything. After that, we have the great white throne judgment, and then now we head into what we know of as all things made new, the new kingdom, and the new Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting, when you think about the Lord destroying all things, it tells us in Peter that when this happens, everything's going to be burned up in a ball of fire, even the elements. It says everything, the elements and everything. It's interesting to look at what's holding this world together right now. As a matter of fact, scientists don't know. The Bible tells us in Colossians that Jesus Christ is the one holding all things together. But they talk about this cosmic glue, the missing God part. They have different names they use it as to why the universe is together. But really, if it wasn't for some mystery that's holding us together, we would all be exploding in a ball of fire right now. As a matter of fact, when you look at atoms and neutrons and all that, you see the positive forces are pushing against each other. If you've ever tried to push two magnets together and you see how they kind of push away from each other, that's what's naturally happening right now in nature, in everything. In you, in all this material, in the elements, in everything. Everything's pushing away from itself. And so scientists wonder, what in the world is holding it together? Well, we know that it's the Lord. But what's exciting about this is that one day the Lord is going to say, all right, and just let go. He doesn't have to really bring fire. He doesn't have to call down fire. He just has to relax for a moment. And if the Lord relaxes for a moment and releases all things held together by his power and his glory, then everything's going to go up in a ball of fire. Well, that's what we saw happen right here at the end of chapter 20, as everything went up in a ball of flames, everything was destroyed. And so the Lord has now carried out his judgment at the great white throne judgment. Those that have rejected Christ throughout the centuries have now been cast into the lake of fire. Those that have received the Lord are now entering into the new kingdom. That is those of us that know him in our new bodies. And that's where we take up. Chapter 21. Now, again, if you look at chapter 21, who of us hasn't wanted a new start? You know, there's always some good reason to have a new start. I remember hearing about Thomas Edison. A lot of his work and all the things that he'd done burned up in a great fire that he had, where he kept all of his paperwork and all of his research. And it's amazing to see where someone's heart is when a tragedy like that happens. But he made a very interesting statement when he was walking, looking at the damage of all of his work that he'd done that he had to start over on. He said, you know what? There's value in disaster. All of our mistakes get burned up and we can start anew. And if you're like me, I look back at my life and I say, yep, I don't see much value in the disaster that I've left behind me, but I love the fact that it's all going to be burned up one day. Again, there's a lot of things I wish I could go back and erase and burn up. And so when I read about all things becoming new, this makes me very happy. Because it's one thing to have a different life. Even when I gave my life to the Lord, and now I'm a new creature in Christ, I don't have those old things I used to do. But even the fact that those can be brought up today are things that I don't like to hear about. You know, we're cleaning out some things at the house and cleaning out underneath the house. And it brings, again, some good memories, and that's good, but it brings a lot of other memories that aren't so good. And I can tell you, for me, I really want to kind of forget those years of wanting to get rid of them. And that's kind of how I feel about it, actually. That's a great illustration, you know, but anyway, and that's fine. But again, we look back in the past and that's how we feel. You know, we feel like, you know what, I wish it wasn't there. I wish it had never happened in my life, but it did. But here's the good news. It's going to all be wiped away. Everything you've ever done wrong, nobody's going to remember. There's not going to be the family gathering where the family gets together and say, yeah, do you remember when Mark did this? That's not going to happen, right? It's all going to be gone. And that's a thing of rejoicing. It's not going to be brought up ever again. All the strange things, all the strange relationships, all the people you've hurt. You know, it's interesting. As a believer now of almost 30 years, I look back and I had a lot of people that I hurt before I came to Christ and a lot of things I regret. But then there's a lot of people that I hurt after I came to Christ. And I have a lot of regrets about that. I've made people that I love, they don't like me anymore. And that's interesting. The Bible says that a friend offended is harder to win than a walled city. Have you ever experienced that? Someone that you love, and yet you've done something stupid, and you realize it, but you can't take it back. I've done a lot of that, even after Christ. And I look at those, I regret that. And I say, Lord, I can't fix that. I contact people, will you forgive me? I handled that very wrongly. I was very foolish. I did wrong. And I do all that. We have to do that. We should do that. And that's good. But it doesn't restore the relationship always. A lot of times, it's just kind of something that is there and is going to be there until we enter the kingdom of God. And maybe you have some of those right now, before and after Christ. Relationships, you know, whatever. The bottom line is, in the kingdom, it's all made right. And you're not going to remember any of this down here. You're not going to hold any grudges. It's not going to be, yeah, I remember when Mark did that. You're actually going to love me. And you won't remember it. And I won't remember anything you've done to me. It's going to be beautiful. And I can't wait. We're not that far away, I don't think. I think we're a lot closer than many of us know. And by the time we look at chapter 21 and we see what we really have waiting on us, there's something the world can't understand, but it's a Christian anticipation. There's a believing anticipation of entering into the glory of the Lord. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. And it's going to be, again, the Bible says the day of our death is greater than the day of our birth. And it's true. Why? Because now we step into glory with no aches, no pains, no sorrow, no regrets. And again, he's going to get into all this as we get into this. I was reminded this week of a teenager. They caught this teenager driving backwards through her neighborhood. She kept driving backwards, looking back, driving. Somebody called the police and came. It's Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Called the police. They pulled a girl. What are you doing? And she was like, why are you driving backwards all over the neighborhood? She said, well, what happened was mom and dad said I could drive the car while they were gone this weekend, and I went way more miles than they said I could go, and I'm trying to get rid of some of them before they get back. You ever felt that way about life? Sometimes I look at my life even prior and even sometimes after I've come to the Lord. And I just want to throw my arm back. Of course, now I just want to look in that glorious camera so I don't have to do that anymore and just drive backwards and just take it all back. But you know what? Here's what's really comforting. I know I can't get rid of all that, but God can. Everything you've ever done that you're ashamed of, every mistake you've ever made, every person you've ever hurt, everything you've ever done, gone and gone. It's not going to be in your memory. It's not going to be in anybody else's memory. It's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. Behold, I make all things new, hence the name of today. And now we get into chapter 21. Notice what he says as John continues on with his vision here in Revelation. He says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Again, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no more sea. Now again, it's all burned in a ball of fire. It's gone as the Lord let go of the force that holds everything together. Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1, he lets go. Everything gets burned up. And now we see right after that, he creates a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. And it's interesting to note about this. He says there's no sea. Now some of you love the ocean. You're going, man, that sounds like a bummer. I can guarantee you, you will not be bummed at what he's going to make. If this down here is a shadow of the things to come, you're not going to be going, man, I wish it was like this, you know, whatever. Yeah, you mean with all the jellyfish and seaweed? Look, I know there's great things about the sea. I like it too. But the bottom line is, whatever God's going to replace it with is going to be amazing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in front of the throne will be a glassy sea. You wonder, what is that going to be like with the glory of the Lord and the beauty of the jewels of heaven and the light? Well, it's described as fiery stones in Scripture. What's it going to be like? I don't think any of us are going to miss the ocean. I think we're going to be too amazed and enthralled with what God has done with this new heaven and this new earth to even think about it. It's going to be way better than anything we've ever experienced. But notice he says, right after this, he says, also, or rather, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I've seen a lot of brides adorned for their husband over the years as a pastor, and they're all beautiful. There's something about a bride, the white dress, you know, the hair, they get all fixed up beautiful and everything's perfect. The nails, the makeup, the jewelry, it's all like, and the guy's just like, whoa, you know, when she's coming down the aisle and you ladies, you've been there, you know what, the time you took to prepare, think about how much time you took to prepare. The Lord is preparing this new Jerusalem like a bride being prepared, except even more so, this is his bride. And we're going to be in this new Jerusalem, and it's going to be pictured actually in New Jerusalem. This new city is going to be a picture of his bride, and we're going to be his bride in this city we're going to see today. And I try to think about what would it be like for the Lord adorning his bride, giving her the best of everything. There's no budget on the dress, ladies. There's no budget on the jewelry. There's no budget on treatments. There's no budget on anything. It's God Almighty, and he adorns his bride to more than can be imagined in the universe. And now we're going to see this glory. And John begins to see this glory now coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And think about how beautified she was for the Lord. And to think that God sees us that way. Right now, you're his bride right now. We see us the way we are with all of our warts and all the black that we see. He sees us as a beautiful bride adorned coming down from heaven. This is going to be amazing. Remember, you have been designed for this. You've been chosen. He didn't make a mistake. God didn't make a mistake with any one of you that had been chosen. It wasn't like, whew, glad I got in. Look, I am glad I got in. But the more I grow in the Lord and the more I understand the word, it wasn't a matter of, whew, glad I got in as being silly. He saw me beforehand and he chose me. He still chose me and put me in. And is going to make me a king in his kingdom. He's done the same thing for you. It's a place of honor. It's amazing. It's really unbelievable. And because we know ourselves. And here's the beauty of it. We all know none of us deserve it. We know what we deserve, don't we? I know very well what I deserve, and it's not this. But he's going to adorn me with it anyway. What do you say to that? How do you even put that in words? There are no words for that. We're going to be eternally thanking him, and yet he looks at us and says, you're beautiful to me. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. We're going to be his people, his family. He will be our God. He will be our Father. And it won't be a matter of coming like to church to come and seek the Lord together. He's going to be with us in person. And we're going to be with him in person for eternity. It's just going to be an amazing thing, this experience that we're going to have with him and he with us as he's our God and the celebration. And notice what it says here, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, I'm going to stop there because there's several things we're going to look at that probably many of us are experiencing right now. Maybe you've had tears in your eyes this week. And then he's going to talk about no more crying. Maybe you've been crying this week. All that's going to be wiped away. Now, it's interesting when you think about wiping away a tear. Now, if you have a tear and somebody you don't know tries to wipe it away, that's weird. You're like, get away from me. What are you doing? Okay. But if somebody you love that's very intimate with you wipes away a tear, a mom with a baby, whatever the case might be, it's a beautiful thing. There's nothing more intimate. And what he's showing us here is the intimacy that he's going to have with us in the kingdom of God. You ever just think you're going to be a number, just a little blip among all the billions of people in heaven? There probably are going to be billions in heaven, because of how long mankind's been on the earth. But there's going to be such an intimate connection somehow in spirit We can't understand it now. There's going to be a deeper, intimate connection to the Lord that it will be as though he is that intimate as the one who wipe away a tear. Now, we'll never have tears again once we're in the kingdom. But the picture he's giving here is those tears have all been gone. But now there's an intimacy that is irreplaceable. If you feel like I have no intimacy, nobody knows me, nobody's close to me, nobody, not even my spouse, nobody really is close to me, but he does. And he is close to you. He knows everything about you. He made you and he designed you for eternity. And he's got a place for you in the kingdom. He's going to wipe away every tear by his glory and by his power and by his love. And it's going to be a place where there's no more sorrow. Notice John goes on describing what it's going to be like. He says, not only will he wipe away every tear, he says, there shall be no more death. Some of you this morning are grieved by death. Someone you love, maybe recently they died, maybe they died a while back, and it still grieves you. Your heart is still saddened by that because they're not here. That won't be there in the kingdom. You'll never feel that pang of death, that pain. It's not going to be there. It's gone. This is going to be a thing of the past forever. He says, not only that, there's going to be no sorrow. So there'll never be anything you're sorrowing about, anything that you've done or that others have done to you or watching the condition of the world around us. That'll never be there. There'll be no sorrow. Again, taken away, nor crying. We talked about that. There won't be any more tears, anything you've experienced. And if you've been experiencing this week, these things in your life, just know this is temporary. Look, when you know that something is temporary, you can endure it. This is going to pass. Be encouraged. Hear me. If you know the Lord, you have glory awaiting you forever and ever and ever. You'll never experience any of this that you're suffering this morning. And maybe you came this morning saying, I hope that I'm encouraged by being here. I hope the pastor or the Holy Spirit or somebody can encourage me. Yes, and I hope that God does do that. But you need to be encouraged by realizing that no matter how you feel coming in and no matter how you feel coming out, this is a blip. This is a moment in time. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is on the way, and all things will be new. And notice he says here, there shall be no more pain. I think about just the physical pain. You know, none of us like physical pain. Whenever we have physical pain, we want it to stop as soon as possible. But there's also the pain of the heart, which is much worse than physical pain. Physical pain is one thing. Pain of the heart, there's nothing like it. It rips to your very soul. It rips to your very core. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've got deep pain in your heart. Maybe a marriage that's dissolved. Maybe a child that's rebelled. Maybe it's a dream that's died. Maybe it's whatever the case might be. Maybe it's a diagnosis you just got. Listen, if the doctor tells you today you've got a week to live, here's the bottom line. There's glory waiting. Glory waiting. And we're going to see that John gets so wrapped up in this glory that it's like he's not even paying attention. God's going to tell him at one point, John, write this down. I mean, I'm kind of going to picture John going, whoa, John, right. You're not writing. That's why I brought you here. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know? And then I think about poor John having, after this vision, I think about poor John having to go home. Remember, John's in his 90s. He's ready to go home, right? He's tired. He's very, very old. He's wanting to go, no doubt. And he sees all these, and Lord, let me just step right into the kingdom. He's like, no, you're not done. You've got to go back and give this so Mark can share it with Calvary Chapel. And all these other pastors can share it with all their churches for thousands of years. We're not done yet, John. And so John has to come back. I can guarantee you, when we get there, we're not going to miss this. We love each other and we'll love each other eternally, but we're not going to miss this. It's going to be a glory we can't imagine. And I think once we get over the hump of realizing, okay, I've got to let go of this body or let go of this life, once we make that mental jump, then it's just getting ready for the kingdom and all the glory that awaits. And I've watched that happen in many believers' lives and watched them smiling on their deathbed saying, I can't wait. Guys, that's where we need to be as believers. Not necessarily trying to rush things, but realizing there's glory right around the corner. And remember this, he said you'll never die. So I don't know what that transition is going to be like, but you're not going to experience death. It's going to be a transition. You're going to move. You're going to move from one place to the next. And it's going to be something that I think that's going to be, again, I know is going to be gracious of the Lord in all ways and is going to be beautiful. And so here he says, the former things have passed away, it's done. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Here it is. I love it. Everything is brand new in all ways. Memories, thoughts, bodies, creation, everything. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And again, this is where I kind of picture John. I'm not saying that he was kind of daydreaming, but you picture John looking at all this and write this down. Either way, whatever was going on, he says, I want my people to know this is not some fairy tale. This is real. Write it down. And I want you to tell them about it. And now he's written it down, and now I'm telling you about it. Here we are reading it. He says, all things will be new, and the words are true and faithful. They have come from the very throne of God himself. And so we can count on them, take them to the bank, as they say. And then he said to me, it is done. Reminds me of it is finished on the cross, but even much greater than that, because notice he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It is done. It's almost this like phrase of finality of all this whole process of mankind and now being restored back to God. We're now all in place. I mean, it's one thing he died on the cross and paid for everything, but we're not all there yet. Everything's not been restored yet. God created the earth. He created man. Man fell and sinned in the garden. Man fell away from God. God had to come to the earth in the form of a man to restore us so we could even go to heaven, that we would have the right to become children of God. He dies on the cross. He resurrects 3 days later. We talked about that. He descended to the heart of the earth, and we've gone now from the heart of the earth to the heights of heaven this week. And then he came back up and descended back up into heaven, ruled and reigned on this earth for 1,000 years, which is in our future, but John's looking back to. And then after that, again, the great white throne judgment separating everybody eternally, those that will be in the kingdom, those that want. Now the new heaven and the new earth. And he says, after all that, it's done. You have some huge project you want to just get finished with, and it's like it seems to take forever. You know, I hate projects that seem like I look at them and you just go, oh my goodness, where do I even start? But if you don't start, it never gets done, right? You start doing it, and piece by piece by piece, it begins to fall in place. The Lord has been waiting a long time. And he's been working piece by piece by piece in many of your hearts. And there may be some of you, you've never given your life to the Lord. You've played religion, you've gone to church, but you've never made that commitment. Listen, piece by piece, he's prepared this day for you. And he's offering you the kingdom of God. You simply have to respond to it because he's showing you what your future can be if you do respond to it. And so it's all prepared in advance. It is done. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. The Bible says he's the author and finisher of our faith. He says, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. It's almost like he's looking in the future of everything being complete and done, and now he makes this statement through the prophet to all of us throughout time before we get there and says, anybody that wants to come, you're welcome. Here's the table I've set for you. Here's the kingdom I've created. You can have it, but you've got to come. And I'm giving you the water of life freely. There's no charge for it. You just have to drink from the wells of heaven. And that means believe I died for you. Turn from your sin, repent of it, ask forgiveness, receive my blood to pay for your sin on the cross, and then it's yours. Drink, drink forever. It never runs dry. And this is exciting. It should be exciting to all of us. If you know the Lord, it's exciting. If you don't know the Lord, it's your opportunity. He's offering you that drink this morning. By the way, have you been drinking from the wells of the world? How's that been? I drank from the waters and streams of the world for many years. And you know, all it did was poison me. It poisoned me and it made me bitter and it ruined my life. It almost destroyed me. And God came and rescued me and said, now drink of this water. And I drank of his water and it's changed my life. I'm now a new creation in Christ. Nothing is the same. And that's what he offers to you this morning is that water. Listen, I make an appeal to you. If you haven't done that, receive the Lord. He's calling out to you today, and I'll give you a chance to do that here in just a moment. But he says, I give you this freely to drink. Look at verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I love it. You're going to be part of the family. And you ever feel like you don't really fit in? You're going to fit in there. You're going to fit in. This is what God does. You'll be my son. But look at those that won't be. He says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, again, let's kind of look at this more closely individually. Notice, first of all, cowardly. What it means is those that are timid and afraid to make a stand. Now, all of us have been there. All of us. He's not talking about where you temporarily, you knew you should have said something and you didn't. You knew you should have made a stand and you didn't. We've all done that. Every single one of us have done that. It's not what he's talking about. Peter did that. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And the Lord again came back to restore Peter. And Peter again blew it after that. We see even Paul talking about where Peter was again doing some things wrong. So he's not talking about perfection and maybe missing an opportunity, blowing a situation.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Revelation. There's so much to discover. If you missed any part of this broadcast or you want to hear it again, visit thewaymedia.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Again, just visit thewaymedia.net, then click on Come to the Table, or download the Way Media app and get push notifications on that day's broadcast. Our teachings through this climactic ending book of the Bible touches on God bringing judgment to a Christ-rejecting world. But that's not where it ends. If you choose to follow Jesus, there's much more life to live beyond the accounts of Revelation. The story actually continues and can include you. If you're unsure what this means, please don't hesitate to submit questions or comments on our website. Just go to thewaymedia.net, click on Come to the Table, and find the questions and comments link. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we'd appreciate your prayers during this study. The book of Revelation can be a controversial and debate-ridden study, and we're asking for unity and a clear message to be presented that's inspired by God Almighty. Please pray that the Holy Spirit would lead those who don't know God to hear this program and find hope in Jesus. Thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord. Pastor Mark has more to share on the big picture of the book of Revelation, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.